Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show podcast. Shout out to the underdogs, my people, and the occasional Trump supporter that might have accidentally found the show. You've made it to the right place if you want to get personal about the news and the culture. Please enjoy this mini episode of the Gregory Neesmith Show.
We got company today. I had to straighten up the studio. You know, when you got fam people coming over, you got, yo, did you make sure you clean? The bathroom's got to be clean. You got to make sure the living room, you got any food in the fridge. But yes, we got company. And that company is that of Courtney Liddell.
Hello.
Certified yoga instructor. And if she sounds familiar, that voice, or if you're watching along online and you're like, oh, she looks familiar, it might be because you've seen her at Family Yoga at the Bronx Settlement Community Center or Harlem YMCA, maybe.
That's correct.
And joining Courtney is Tressa Fulton. Yes, indeed. Currently agency relations manager with New York City's Department of Information Technology and Telecommunications. One of the longest titles I've ever read on the radio in my life without taking a breath. Yes, indeed. And she's also currently curates a monthly event that combines yoga and live jazz. By the way, it's Black History, Black Music Month. Shout out to Black Music.
Celebrate it.
Not just the contribution we made to jazz, but even all music. And that event is called Move and Groove. And it's cool. It combines music, movement, and wellness. And we'll talk more about that. Mm-hmm. So welcome, Courtney and Tressa.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Yeah, great to be here. I appreciate you. It's nice to have some company.
Yay.
Cool. So I've been telling folks this episode 77. Mm-hmm. We talked howling dogs earlier. This whole idea of sometimes we don't make change in our lives until the nail's in deep enough. Mm-hmm. Which is natural. I've done some things in my life where I haven't made changes until something traumatic has happened. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes it's good to make some change because we find out something new that we're really into, or we just get in touch with like how we feel, like we're just not feeling good and we want to feel better. Hopefully we'll get to talk about maybe Move and Groove could be one of the things that maybe some folks do to help get their wellness in a different direction. Right. So let's talk about yoga.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about yoga.
So for people who have listened to the show, they know that I've been saying I'm going to take a yoga class for about a year.
Have you taken it yet?
No, I haven't.
I hear that a lot.
Yeah.
Yes. So, and shame on me because there's like lots of Americans who are doing yoga and things like that. Mm-hmm. Why, of all the things you could be doing in the world?
Yes.
Why are you messing with yoga?
I'll go first. I hate cardio.
Okay.
Yoga actually for me has been a physical as well as a mental journey, in the sense that I think ideally we all need some physical activity in our lives. And I found yoga actually to calm my spirit down and help me get centered. And then there's certain things in life where you feel like, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. And so there are a lot of ways that I approach yoga poses the same way. I can't do this, I can do that. And then lo and behold, I'm doing it. And I actually enjoy the way that I feel afterwards. I think it's a really great practice. And it is something that's different in that, like, it's not a traditional, you can run on a treadmill or you can run around a track to get some sort of like muscle tone and stuff. But it's something that I've always enjoyed. And I always wanted to share it with other people.
Okay. Cool. So if I hate cardio, yoga is the thing for me.
That's the thing. So if you, I mean, at the same time, I've met people who are like, yoga, you know, you just breathing. You ain't doing nothing. I'm like, you just stretching. But guess what? I'm lifting all my body weight. And that's not, you know, we're not 2 pounds. Mm-mm. Okay. I'm working out. I am.
Okay. So I may get into yoga.
I would love for that to happen.
This might be the universe saying,
yes.
I've avoided so long. They're like, we're going to send two people here right. to tell you why and you other it. Dogs about yoga.
I think that's the purpose.
That's the purpose. Thank you.
Fair enough. And for you underdogs out there too, if you've been thinking about it, this might be your opportunity to like take that thought and put some action to it. Courtney, you could instruct anybody about anything, how talented you are. And you have chosen as one of the things that you give to the world is yoga. Why?
Or maybe it chose me. I'm not sure. The first time I ever took a yoga class, and I'll tell you how I got into it, a good friend of the family, and this is going back until like the early 80s. She was a yoga instructor.
Early 80s?
Yeah. I was 5 years old, and I took a yoga class because I was friends with this woman's children, and you know, we all hung out together and she was a yoga instructor. So we took her class. And I only probably took a class with her once or twice, but she's such a presence in my life. I think that other side of yoga, how to be, she's like another mother to me. Mm. Like I learned that from her. But actually getting into, and without going too far, all the different styles of yoga and different facets of yoga, what you think of, what most people think of as yoga, you see people putting their legs behind their heads and all that type of stuff. That's asana practice.
Yeah, it's different. Asana?
Asana. Mm-hmm. So that is the physical aspect of yoga.
And you know why I'm not going to commit that to memory? Hmm. Because I know I can't put my leg behind my head. So I don't
not yet. Well, you do some other stuff. You might just hold it out in front of you.
Get me to the one that I can do.
I mean, any yoga poses you see, that is asana practice. And it's one of the one facet of yoga. But I started to develop an asana practice probably in my early 30s, purely out of vanity, if I'm being honest. I was at the Harlem YMCA and there was a young woman there who was really fit, was going to boot camp classes and she could just do everything. It was her, my friend Fatima, and this woman, Miss Sylvia, who was older. Now, if you remember Miss Sylvia, she's older than everybody, but you never saw her cheat a rep of anything. This was in boot camp class. And Fatima had an injury as a child and she can only bend one leg. Mm-hmm. This girl is all like muscle, you know? Yeah. And the two of them said, oh, after boot camp, you should come to yoga. And I was looking at the two of them like, I'm doing whatever it is that they're doing. And I got into that class and I was sweating like nobody's business because I thought I was going to go in there and start stretching. And it was just not what I expected at all. And I think those other things that Tressa started to talk about started to take over. I remember, and this is at the Y, so there's some of everyone at the Y. I remember seeing like a older heavy sister just busting out headstands. Mm-hmm. And it just, none of it was what I thought it was. Yeah. And now I'm able to do those things that I never thought I could do. And that kind of led me down the path to become a teacher.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And you mentioned, and I think a little bit of from both of you about some things were unexpected.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm thinking I'm just going to stretch or you're thinking, or I might think I got to put my head behind my head and legs behind my head. And that's not really the case. But oftentimes when we're thrown for a loop or something doesn't meet our expectations, we can get a little taken aback or maybe like, oh, maybe this isn't for me. Mm-hmm. Can you share a little bit about how you got through maybe some of your struggles with yoga? Right. Because it seems like something that people, once they are in it, it's like a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. But was it like easier? Like, oh, yoga, day one, I'm going to be in this forever. Yeah. Or talk a little bit about like what you struggled with before it became your thing.
Well, for me, I actually, this is another thing that's a little deeper in that. I have a very Christian family and they were, and I think they had created some biases in that what they thought yoga was about was praying to different gods and all that stuff. And then that was a struggle for me because I'm like, oh my God, am I stepping into something that's a religious thing or what am I stepping into? So what I found out and what I did not expect, it really is a centering thing versus a religious thing. Mm-hmm. It's about humankind and community. And I've always been about my community. I've been raised to serve another person, to serve myself, to bring wellness and bring kindness into the world. And that's what yoga really was about for me versus a religious thing. Also, a lot of things that I mean, sometimes you're embarrassed about how your body looks in comparison to everyone. And it's the same thing in regular life. You're maybe on a train platform. You're like, oh, her skirt looked cuter than mine, like whatever. But, you know, if you're on the yoga mat, it's you and that yoga mat. You're not thinking of all these things outside of you. So there was some struggles about not focusing so much on the outside. It was definitely a struggle for me to remember to focus internally. And also pushing myself in a healthy way, pushing myself in a healthy way and being, and even congratulating my successes. Sometimes I'm really like, ooh, I made it to class today. Cause I know I had an attitude soon as I got in that door.
That's the celebration. So, sometimes.
Yeah.
Hey, sometimes and just showing up is a big deal.
Just showing up. And you know, we've had yoga teachers. Well, funny thing is we've had a yoga teacher who tell us it's not nice to be mean to your yoga teacher. Cause I would sit there and roll my eyes. Cause I really did not want to do a pose or I thought she was crazy, like whatever. But those are struggles. You have to get out of yourself and just try. And so there were certain things that happened where we had some great music, that brought me to yoga, you know? So those are some things that we, of course, Courtney can talk more on what her struggles are too. I don't want to take up the whole time.
No, that's, you bring up some things that I'm sure people are listening going, oh yeah, I was worried about how I look.
Yeah.
I literally was like, do I wear socks or not? Right. Does that mean
every
I need to get a pedicure?
Every guy thinks that.
Do I need to get a pedicure? Yeah, like, do I wear like the tights with no shorts over? I'm used to wearing baggy basketball shorts. I'm like, I don't, can I be in the back of the class?
You can be in the back of the class. It's my favorite spot.
But no, this is, but I'm glad you said that because in my head, I'm like, I really am still thinking about like, do I need to get a pedicure before I go? Like, do I need grips on the socks thing? Do I need to buy? Right. I mean, they said Americans are now spending $10 billion a year on yoga classes and equipment.
Right.
Okay.
What you need is a mat, some pants. Don't, I mean, we're not doing a naked yoga class, so you definitely need some clothes.
No, I'm bringing clothes.
Great. But yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing. You kind of like, you almost permitting all these barriers from you get into class, right? And that's why if somebody's really doing yoga, they minding their own business on their mat. They ain't thinking about you. They really shouldn't be, you know what I mean? So there's a sense of that you could remove that barrier and be just come prepared to do a workout in a sense, but a workout that's a healthy thing for your mind as well.
I think, and I want to piggyback on that because that's such a good question and such a good point that you brought up about one religion. I know a lot of people,
Black people
are, especially. Black people especially. And the person who encouraged.
You can say it.
Yeah, we can say it.
Oh, that's right, we in Harlem.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The person who encouraged me to become a yoga instructor said you should do it because there are not enough. And she did. We're in a public space. She did the little, you know, when we pointed the back of our hand.
Yeah. There's not enough of us
who don't think that you're going to go to hell for doing these yoga poses. That's what she told me. And
people putting legs behind their head and like they omen and like, who are they praying to?
Exactly. Right. And people, and I think yoga does, it definitely has. It's been cultivated in India,
right,
for thousands of years.
Yeah.
So there are some ties to things that are culturally Indian, and Hindu religion is part of that. But that is the Hindu religion. Yoga doesn't ask you to change your religion.
No, it doesn't.
And if you go to a lot of yoga centers, like they span all religions. Mm-hmm. They, you know, whatever you come as you are, you bring your own religious practice. I think another thing that when you're talking about barriers, a lot of people, when you talk about body type, when you think of yoga in these studios and how expensive it is, and you got to have these leggings, one good thing and one reason that I'm really glad I started my practice at the Harlem Y is that it's a diverse place, not just in terms of color, which is very important, but in terms of age and in terms of body type. So a lot of people might not feel comfortable walking into this large studio downtown where everybody has a yoga practice and the average age is 27.5 years old.
And they were wearing $70 leggings for no good reason.
And it's mostly white females, blonde. And their ponytail is exactly that. You know, there's this perception of that's what yoga is. And that is not what yoga is. Like, Black people have been practicing yoga. Yoga has been in Harlem for a long time. And I think that's part of the thing that we really want to do with our classes is to make sure we look out and we see that diversity, and also to create a place where everybody feels comfortable coming in. We can start breaking down some of those barriers. That's really, really important to me as a teacher.
That's awesome. You're listening to the Gregory Neesmith Show live, like we do here every Sunday from noon to 2 p.m. And we have special guests in the building for episode 77.
Gotta play that number.
Yes, indeed. Play those lucky sevens. Today's episode, Howlin' Dog, Swagger Back, and Yoga Flow. And that's because we have Miss Courtney Liddell and Tressa Fulton talking about yoga, jazz, and Harlem. They're also a part of an event that happens every month called Move and Groove, which we'll talk about before we get out of here. But so far, we've just been talking about the big picture of yoga. We've been talking about God.
We did talk about
God loves you, and so do I. Sunday.
Yes.
We've been talking about that is more than just stretching.
Yeah.
And come as you are.
Mm-hmm.
Bring clothes, but come as you are.
Yes.
Because yoga welcomes you. And it is for everybody. Mm-hmm. And I love what you said, Courtney, from the idea of, you know, we talk mirror sometimes in arts and literature. We talk the window. And the mirror is like, it's good when you see people that look like
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
doing stuff.
It's so cool.
And so then you feel like, oh, maybe it is for me. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that you're giving some underdogs out there who may not look like the classic, whatever old school classic yoga person is, that they're like, no, yoga looks like everybody.
A lot of men.
You know, there's some professional football players who've been over even to India and gotten trained. Like, so I would never think, I think there are a lot of people who are open to it. And then,
but a lot of guys feel like it's not for men. I hear that all the time. No, it's the thing that women do.
That we can't really successfully
And women
do.
Used to not be allowed to practice yoga. Like, that's on another level.
Well, I love that you're changing, because some of the stats say that about 80% of people who practice yoga are women.
Right.
And now and like, I'm going to help change that number in 2018.
Class. Bring that number down.
Bring that number down.
So if I want to get into some yoga, and I'm in Harlem, and I might be an underdog, or some of the brothers and sisters have been, you know, had some of these hangups. Why am I going to jazz and yoga? Like, now I'm like, I don't even know much about yoga, and now I may not even know much about jazz.
Well, I mean, straight up, music is just something that feeds the soul. And I mean, even, you know, when we even talk about church and gospel and the hymns and how it gets to our soul,
how we move
towards the beat, it's something that is so much more approachable. I definitely feel like my first yoga classes that featured music by Stevie Wonder moved me. And I was like, oh, I could do this, and I can even do this at home. So, yeah. So bringing together, I think, the foundation and basis of music, which is jazz music. Mm-hmm. It creates an experience, and you know, the move and groove yoga situation is that our sessions are at the Jazz Museum of Harlem, and they feature live pianists, live artists that are in and of Harlem, and I don't know, it just sets this wonderful tone. I don't know, Courtney, if you had more to say about why jazz music.
Jazz? Well, I can tell you a little bit how that partnership came to be. I was teaching at another studio, and we were doing I'll talk about the
Asali yoga.
Yes, I was Erica, shout out to Erica and Asali. But we decided to do an album classic, so we would practice yoga to album. We did Tribe Called Quest. I think Stevie Wonder might have been the Outcast, first one. We did Outkast. I got the idea from
the music.
Yeah, I got the
I
idea from Outkast.
The music.
Yes. Yeah. So if you come to my class where we don't have live, live musicians, I still try to have great music. But I remember I was at home listening to Outkast, and I was like, I could do a class. This is so operatic. Like, it has, you know, highs and lows. But we got to jazz. It was around a Valentine's Day, and I didn't have a man. So I was like, I'm going to do this class to celebrate universal love, because that's the only type that I'm getting. So it was, so we decided to do a Love Supreme class.
Hey, spread love, and the love will come back to you.
Yes. That's it. It did. So universal love, John Coltrane, Love Supreme. The hurdle I had with that was I planned out this whole hour and a half class. And as you know, that album is 30 minutes long, 39 minutes long. So we found like a bunch of adjacent artists, and we played some Alice Coltrane and everything. And then there was a meditation right before Love Supreme started. And then we carried through, and we wrapped up the class with Coltrane, Love Supreme. But it was a great class, and it was just this spark, like trying something different. And then Tressa had the idea, like, oh, we should bring this to the National Jazz Museum. This is such a great partnership, and that was kind of the birth of it. And then we moved on to get live musicians. So it was a really organic partnership.
Yeah. That's awesome. I learned a couple things just now.
I do yoga to Outkast.
Should I take a pause to say that if there's any eligible men out there, they should call the show right now at 212-650-6903.
That phone ain't ringing.
And speaking of shouting out the underdogs out there, shout out to the folks following along on the Facebook Live. Shout out to Daryl, one of my boys from.
Is that your pen?
Well, Dow is one of my good friends from the 215. We grew up together.
Okay,
cool. So shout out to Dow. And then also shout out to someone we know, Zeke.
Hi, Zeke.
Yes,
what's
indeed.
Up?
Shout out to the Richards.
Of course.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, that beautiful son.
He says,
hey, Zeke.
Tressa in the building.
Hi. What's up? Miss you guys.
Yes, indeed. We appreciate.
Right. We got to meet up.
That's yes.
The fam. In the city too.
The fam showing up and showing out, which is, to me, also another great example of one of the ways that Tressa and I know each other is through college, but also taking some trips and doing something different, right?
Mm-hmm.
I believe only 1 in 3 Americans have an active passport.
What?
Yeah, so think about it. Mm. There's folks that haven't experienced something new, seen different parts of the world, learning about themselves and about the world. That's what happens when we get out of our area.
And we think about that too. Funny thing is, I think we talk about doing yoga everywhere. One of my birthdays, I went to Belize and Courtney went with me. We did yoga out in Belize on the water. Courtney just went to Bali.
Yeah.
It's just like, just
wherever I go, there's some yoga happening.
Yes. And my point for underdogs out there, yes, love for you to get your passport today. But if you can't, you can still start to try new experiences at home in Harlem, like Move and Groove.
Yes.
Talk to me about what's Move and Groove, because you guys were featured in a New York Times article that talked about museums combining art.
Yes.
And it can literally be like art I can see or art that I can listen to and move to. And so you're part of this movement.
Yeah.
And tell folks, like, what is Move and Groove? When is it? What is it?
Okay. So
what's this Hug of Harlem thing?
That's how I feel. It's a Hug for Harlem, a Hug of Harlem, Hug for Harlem, Hug in Harlem. I don't know. So the Jazz Museum in Harlem is a nonprofit located in Harlem, and it is of jazz and musicians and history of jazz. And frankly, they had a low attendance rating, and a lot of people didn't know about them, right? But I always appreciated it. And this is how I ended up developing the partnership. Courtney and another friend of ours, Azure, had introduced me to this museum, and I learned so much about it. And there's this thing about meeting and learning from the elders that are in our community. And they were the ones who were always in there and telling them, like, back in the day at Alhambra, like, that's something that's
they got stories.
They got stories of doing dances and musicians and stuff. So I was like, hey, I know you guys also want people, Jazz Museum of Harlem, I know you want people to learn about you, but hey, we think that this would be a great way. I said it personally. I support a lot of nonprofits. This is my new way of supporting a nonprofit. All of the classes, the tickets that are low range, low price of $10 goes back to support the museum. The museum supports jazz musicians. It supports cultivation of jazz. So this is my way of helping. I get other people around this world and around this city to help me raise funds for the supporting of the Jazz Museum in Harlem. So it happens once a month, the second Saturday of the month.
Mm-hmm.
So we tell people to come around 3:30 to set up and all that good stuff. But our first OM is at 4:00 and it's an hour long situation.
Well, time out. You said something that some people who are maybe not familiar with yoga are just like, they chanting over here. Like what's OM?
OM is a breath.
OM is, it's,
you know, y'all talking that yoga language. You got to let
difficult
folks know.
To OM is, I best heard it described as the sound of everything and the sound of nothing, the sound of the universe spinning. So when you hear the monks chanting that OM, that's what it's replicating. I mean, we just all vibrate together for a moment.
Or you know how, like, all of us Black people, when we get to church, there's a point of you sitting in one space all together at the same time in silence. And you are all saying amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of sort of everyone as a community coming together to start off. And that's what I think sometimes we say when we say first OM.
Okay.
So that was how Move and Groove Yoga came to be with the Jazz Museum in Harlem. And it started off with playlists. And it started off with, you know, iPod DJ kind of situation. And then, of course, they had musicians who were at the ready. And these are wonderful artists like David Durrah and Kelly Green, and they have albums out and they do sessions. And it's just like, you know, you come into yoga and everyone just seems to come out like with a release and a relief, and they feel warm. They feel really good. And I think also because they're with their community members, that makes a difference.
I want folks to let that marinate for a little while. The whole ohm thing, mm-hmm. it's everything, and then it's
and nothing.
And that could be everything.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening to the Gregory Neesmith Show podcast, where we get personal about the news and the culture. And as always, I leave you with my favorite quote, underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.